Unit 3, page 33, exercises 6 and 7.
It's 4 o'clock, and you're listening to the afternoon show with Marty and Dave. Do you know what, Dave? In the 2 years that we've been hosting this show, this is the first time I've seen you without your usual afternoon can of soda. What's going on?
Well, I've decided to kick the soda habit once and for all.
You're giving it up?
Well, it's okay as a treat now and then, but I've been reading a book about habits that's inspired me to try to make a few positive changes, including cutting down on sugar.
Oh, okay. Sounds useful.
Mm-hmm. It's The Power of Habits by Charles Duhigg. It's really interesting.
Uh-huh. And does it offer some good tips for changing your habits?
Well, the book doesn't claim that it's simple, I'm afraid. In fact, Duhigg says that once you've established a habit, that neural pathway is there in your brain for life.
Yeah? It's bad news if that's true.
But, apparently, even if those old habits are there, we can learn to replace them with new patterns of behavior. The key is understanding how the habit loop works.
Okay, so what's the habit loop?
It's a circular process with three parts. First, there's a cue, something in the environment that triggers the habit, that makes us behave in a particular way.
Uh-huh.
With my afternoon soda habit, the cue is the time of day, 3:30, about half an hour before we go on air. That's when I get the urge to go to the cafeteria and get a soda.
Yeah, I see. And is the cue always a time of day?
No, not necessarily. It could also be a place, a situation, or a feeling.
Uh-huh.
But when we experience that cue, it automatically triggers a routine, the next stage in the habit loop.
And the routine is the habit itself.
Right. So, in my case, the routine is walking to the cafeteria, buying the soda, coming back to the studio, and drinking it. And that routine leads to a reward, a positive feeling or effect.
Uh-huh.
As the habit loop repeats itself over and over again, the reward becomes more and more strongly associated with the cue. You experience the cue, you anticipate the reward, and that's the motivation for the routine.
Sure. And sooner or later, that habit becomes really difficult to break.
Exactly. So Duhigg says that to change a habit, we need to understand the cues, and most importantly, the rewards associated with it. What are the rewards, and are there any hidden rewards we might not be aware of? And could we connect the old cue to the same rewards using different behavior?
Oh.
So, going back to the soda example, what rewards am I actually getting from buying the soda? I'm probably thirsty because I don't drink enough water, and I'm probably craving energy from the sugar and caffeine. But it's not just that. Buying the soda is an excuse to go for a walk and chat with people in the cafeteria. So I thought, what if I walk to the cafeteria but don't buy the soda? I could get an apple instead. At least that'd be healthier, and it might give me most of the same rewards.
We'll see. But tell me, is the only way of breaking a habit to replace it with a new one? I mean, can't we just develop better self-control? Make a conscious decision to choose an apple over a can of soda each time we're faced with that choice?
Yeah, I see your point. But it seems that a lot of our everyday behavior is automatic. From what I've read, some studies say it's more or less 40%.
Oh, really? Oh, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I know. Psychologists have looked into what makes some people better at achieving goals than others, and they're starting to think that it isn't necessarily that successful people have more willpower or self-discipline. Instead, maybe they're just more likely to form good habits instead of bad ones. They're still on autopilot like everyone else. It's just that their automatic behavior is going to the gym or studying instead of lying on the sofa, scrolling through their phone.